Citizen Radio Productions.
Hey, Jamie and Allison, how's it going?
Hi, good.
Our goal is to bring you the news, talk about stories that the mainstream media isn't covering.
Mr. Hannity,
why should French people burn?
Because they're not Americans.
Legally, you don't have the right to do that.
Wink.
You don't.
Wink.
We're very pro catching bad guys, which is why we wish you fucking idiots weren't so distracted with a fake war to get oil.
Israel committed war crimes.
Also, plow forth? That's not a phrase.
It's just two words I put together. Plow and forth, voice says.
Say a command.
Vote or protest. Let's go, you guys. We'd go to jail for it.
Crack.
Gives a Dick Cheney like, meh. I apologize for 80% of the show.
Right. I apologize for the other 20.
I'm going to bring Liza Minnelli back to life.
You could bring her career back to life.
Oh!
Citizen Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Citizen Radio.
DIY Radio, broadcasting from the People's Republic of the Internet.
It is Friday, June 8th. I'm one of your hosts, Jamie Kilstein.
And I'm Allison Kilkenny.
You can find us at WeAreCitizenRadio.com. Subscribe to the show for free at WeAreCitizenRadio.com. And find us on Facebook and Twitter. What's up, Allison?
Hey, Jamie.
I'm tangled in wires.
Yeah, that's
sad. I almost couldn't do the intro. Why'd we go? What happened?
I don't know what your issue is. I don't know how to help you at this point.
There, you did it.
There we go.
Team Jamie Allison. Hello, it's Friday. Didn't we used to have a song about Friday?
It's Friday. We don't give a fuck.
Ah, we don't give a shit. Phone in the episode. That's not true. We never phone in.
It's a little true.
We never phone in.
Jamie's not wearing pants, for example.
I'm not. Look at these gams.
And his superhero t-shirt.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Spider-Man, Wolverine, who else is on there?
Daredevil!
Oh, well.
Stop it. Stop. Don't let Ben Affleck.
He ruined it.
Sully.
Nope, he ruined it.
Ed Brubaker and Brian Michael Bendis' fantastic work over the last couple years.
Single-handedly ruined by that big-chinned, no talent.
Stop it. He is a liberal. He's on our side, and one day he will run for Senate.
He can be a liberal and have a big chin and no talent.
One day he will run for Senate. I love you, Ben. Gosh. I love you, Ben.
What is that?
That was, do you remember that incredibly offensive South Park? Tacos for my Ben.
Oh, yeah.
The best reveal of all time, Mitch Connor.
I thought you were imitating my best friend's mother, who is Cuban. Bruce Willis came to film one of his movies in Washington Heights, and she leaned out the window and screamed, "I love you, Bruce Willis!" And he thought it was the best thing ever, and he was like blowing her kisses and shit. I was like, "Oh my god, is this gonna happen? Is she gonna become Mrs. Bruce Willis?
Is she gonna fuck Bruce Willis on in a parade?"
It was pretty awesome.
That's
I'm just saying, I think if she had pushed it a little further, she
could have fucked Bruce Willis in a parade.
Yeah.
All right.
Which, is that not every little girl's dream?
She's not a little girl. First of all, I hope not. When you say little girl, I imagine like little, like still at the age where like, what are your dreams? Well, I want to be a princess or an astronaut or fuck Bruce Willis in the middle of a street parade.
Hey, whatever gets you off, man. Imagine them however young you want.
Oh,
that was you.
Don't turn this into
that was all you.
Don't turn it. All right. Now we have to tell the story. I don't know if we remember.
I don't remember it at all.
All I tried to have a nice conversation with my wife as we walked home through the park after a great date day, seeing Wes Anderson's fantastic new movie.
You can't tell a story because I don't remember my amazing line when I called it back.
Maybe you'll maybe just as I tell it,
you're going to ruin it.
You'll remember it. And we saw Moonrise Kingdom, which I highly recommend to everybody. And we're walking home and like with no sense of irony, with no sense that this could be turned against me at all. Like, I just think it's like a very legitimate, sweet comment that I meant. And I can't even say still mean. And you'll see why. I go, you know, it's crazy. And it was supposed to be commentary on how shitty most romantic comedies are. I go, it's crazy to me that the two movies I think that I've done the best job showing love was Super 8 and Moonrise Kingdom, and it was, you know, love between kids.
Right.
And Allison said, oh, you're a pedophile. And I got so nervous, I just started pathetically backtracking.
Rambling and like...
No, I just had a lot of heart. And like, hey, Ryan Reynolds is stupid. And fuck Sandra Bullock. And I don't like children. I
like adults. But like, wait.
I'd fuck Bruce Willis. It was horrible.
Right.
And now, every time I try to comment on... I'm like, look, I was going to say the beauty of youth, but I can't say that.
Gross.
I can't say that.
Gross.
Every time I try to comment on just...
on what?
How wonderful it is...
Supple?
To be a child. No. To be a child. Not be on a child. To be a child. Allison calls me a pedo.
Pedo.
And it's...
Not that pedophilia is hilarious, but... Calling Jamie a pedophile when he is not one is
because I love kids awesome. So much.
God, I know you yeah. do sexually. So Jamie,
what?
I have an update on the zombie apocalypse.
What's that?
Preface: I'm mad at almost everyone I know on Twitter because I have been posting these stories that are zombie related or could be construed as being zombie related.
After, by the way, we did a very good piece on Citizen Radio. Talking about how the media is sort of using this as an excuse to
not talking about mental health issues. Right. But I obviously know the zombie apocalypse is not real. I recognize that several of these stories that have surfaced are from shady sources that we probably can't verify. All of that is a preface, okay?
Did I tell you why the only reason Allison and I don't think the zombie apocalypse is real?
Are you asking the audience? Because no, I don't think they're going to answer.
Oh. It's because I figured out in zombie lingo why it's not real. This made our friend Matthew be like, oh, okay. That made all, I think all of us, where the people who have been killed have not come back to life.
Funny you mention that.
What? What fucking story are you about? What are you about to do?
So this is, again, from a sketchy source at its origin, filtered through Gawker, also not known for being, accurate a lot of the time. I am offering this story for entertainment purposes only, okay? Are we fucking clear on that, Twitter?
I'm
fucking morons.
I'm reading the fucking idiots who tweeted at you.
Idiots.
You know it's not real, right?
Fuck yes.
What?
You morons.
Wait, let's click on some of their profiles.
Hold
just
on.
To...
Can I tell you the story?
All right. I hope you're all eaten by zombies.
Yeah, I hope this is real. Dead toddler reanimates at own wake to ask for some water, then re-dies.
I'm not kidding when I say this. Because I've said stuff like this before, and I've been kidding, but I 100% swear to God I'm not kidding. I almost started throwing up.
Right.
Out of not disgust, sheer terror.
But apparently this has happened before, where like people wake up at their own funerals. And I have heard stories, verified stories before, where people, through whatever reason, like whatever medical condition, they seem like they are dead, and then they wake up at their own funerals.
Right. I have not heard a word you've said, because that is the scariest.
Can I...
In real life, if that actually happened and there's no zombie apocalypse, also, like, real sad. Like, real sad for, like, the families.
Well, if you read, again, the article, like, again, if it... allegedly, this is what happened. He woke up. He asked for a glass of water. They all start screaming.
Yeah, I would say so.
And then, yeah, he allegedly, reportedly died again. But yeah.
I would have had to, in front of his mourning family, I would have had to beat that tiny child with my tiny bats to death.
This is why you're not allowed to
carry my tiny bats around. Or go to random funerals.
Random funerals anymore, because... beating the corpses.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I feel like sometimes I like to go to the funerals of these kids because it just shows that, like, such, like, as a small child.
Sexy?
Oh.
So, Jamie.
I don't know how many times I was going to have to say small child before I was like, yes.
I was on it the way you are on small children.
Why?
So
Why? And here's what sucks. Here's what really sucks, you guys. I love kids.
I know you do.
But now, the only person I hang out with is Allison.
Uh-huh. Not, and I'm not a child, so you must be disappointed constantly. Yeah. He just, like, threw down the microphone.
So, you know, I can't even wave to kids. Kids really like me.
I know. Well, that's what you tell yourself.
They do. Mm-hmm. So now I can't, like, high five kids on our block without just, like, being, like...
Getting a boner.
No. Without being self-conscious because my horrible wife's next to me. And then I'm going to say something stupid one day to, like, a mom, be like, I don't want to fuck your kid. And then that's...
Which is a lie.
It's not a lie. And that's bad twice because, number one... It makes me look like a fucking pedophile. And number two, she's going to think she has an ugly kid. And then I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to be like, no, your kid's not ugly. Like, he's super good
sexy,
looking.
Yeah,
right.
Attractive.
And then that's going to be, yeah. Oh, this has been the worst episode of Citizen Radio ever.
Can I tell you something else about zombies?
Yeah.
They used to bury people with a string that ran up to the surface of the like, ground surface with,
like,
a bell on it.
Like Tickle Me Elmo? Oh.
With a bell on it. Right. So if you woke up, because this was such, because medical science was shit back in the day, and they used to...
I could tell by the bell pulley system they got.
Yeah, and they were like, well, they were burying people who would later wake up, and can you imagine anything more terrifying than being stuck in the ground? So you could ring the bell if you woke up.
Wow.
And they would dig you up. Crazy, right?
The baby thing. Oh, that's so creepy.
If it's... Allegedly. God, everybody calm the fuck down.
I want to just start outing all the people who said that to you on Twitter.
Oh, it's fucking morons. You're lucky I didn't block you instantly.
I wanted to, speaking of the zombie apocalypse, Allison and I leave for Florida today.
To go fight in the zombie apocalypse.
To, like, ground zero of the zombie apocalypse.
You're welcome, you fucking ingrates.
I'm going to be...
I can't believe that you tweeted Gawker.
Oh, really? Well, now we're going to save your lives and humanity. So, what do you...
You're welcome.
I guess now, right? Who feels stupid? So we're going, and I realized something terribly creepy. Not only did this start on my birthday, not only are we were we coincidentally going to Ground Zero... Again, someone else asked to do a Citizen Radio meetup. Let me remind you, going to Ground Zero of the Zombie Apocalypse to visit my grandma before she dies.
So there are at least two things we have to do before we meet up with you. One is win the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm, that might take a while. Also, visit Jamie's elderly grandmother.
Say a little goodbye to my grandma, who's like 1,000 years old.
So once we do those things, again, win the entire zombie apocalypse,
right.
Yep. And see Jamie's elderly grandmother... Then we're still not going to meet up with
we're
you.
We're not going to. We're going to go home.
Even if we somehow, by some miracle, have a few hours, I'm literally going to do anything else other than that.
Can I? I was not going to bring this up on the show, but Food Pussy, one of our tweeters, Jason, who we had the pleasure of meeting in Chicago. And by the way, I should also bring up, Dangles has been wearing your police outfit.
Oh, my God.
But
constantly.
It's so big. He's just stuck and it looks like he's in a giant blue muumuu. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He's not happy about it.
No.
So he was like this real sweetheart. And we actually did do a Citizen Radio meetup in Chicago after my show. I literally had no fucking voice. But we stayed after for like 3 hours signing posters, meeting all of you guys. We got to meet a bunch of our like ninja hoodlums and like people who traveled from so far away. And it was like... So fun. So fun. I mean, Allison and I probably have one of the most, I would say some of the best relationships with our fans out of any radio show.
Yeah. Having said that, though.
But we also joked in Chicago, not joked, seriously said, much like we're saying now, even if you accidentally run into us, go the other way. Because I'm going to fucking punch you in the face. If you accidentally run into me on my birthday before I spend the next 3 days running from cops and protesting with you guys, give me a day. Same with my grandma. Like to see my dying grandma. Like to say bye, right? And fight the zombie apocalypse. we were having my morning breakfast or my birthday breakfast at the Chicago Diner.
I forgot about this.
At the Chicago Diner, and I saw Food Pussy, and I was gonna say hi, and he just like didn't look at us the whole time. And I don't, Jason, you have to tweet me. Did you see me?
I think you
and
saw
were
us.
Too afraid.
Which, if you right. did see us, kudos.
You're an awesome dude.
You totally get it.
But then I was going to say hi to him as we were leaving. But then I was paranoid the whole time.
Yeah, totally.
Where I'm like, oh, now I'm an asshole. Cause like,
or that he would get nervous if we like talked
yeah, and
to
I'm
him.
Like,
yeah.
And he's such a sweet kid. You're such a sweet kid. And you're not a kid. You're, I think, my age. And I just didn't say anything. And we just left in that whole block. I'm like, I'm a piece of shit.
I know.
I'm such an asshole. With that said, he may not have seen us, but we were there. Of course we were there. That's the only
place we eat at.
Right. If you see me in Florida, unless you're Food Pussy, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you with tiny bats, with my zombie bats. And then I'm going to be like, oh, I thought he was a zombie.
No, and then
that's
he'll reanimate. And then you'll have to kill him because he's a zombie.
Here's your water. I hope you wanted tiny bats with your water. That's going to be my line.
No,
that's
going to
be my line.
No.
I hope you wanted a side order of tiny bats and then I'll...
No, we have to talk about catchphrases because if you say that shit during the zombie apocalypse, I'm going to be really embarrassed.
I can do that. All right. So give me a situation and I'll give you...
Okay. So we're in an abandoned parking garage.
Okay.
Which... of course will happen sometime during the zombie apocalypse.
You know what's so funny? We're going to be like going to meet my grandma at dinner and have to park underground.
I know.
And I'm going to be like,
I know. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Yeah. So we're creeping through this abandoned parking lot.
All right.
Go
to my word banks. I got parking. I got lot. Abandoned. Yeah. All right.
All right. And we're heading towards the abandoned mall, which mm-hmm. again, what did we learn on this show? Where do you go during the zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, the abandoned
you mall. Go to the mall. And from behind an abandoned van springs three walkers.
Okay.
All right. What do you do?
I scream, I love children. And then I have to explain the zombies. Not sexually.
And we're dead.
We're
dead because you have to explain your stupid catchphrase.
Well, I mean, they have to get closer to hear me.
Right. Right. Okay. So... backup plan. Let's say we throw that terrible idea out the window.
All right.
What's your second catchphrase?
I got something for you to bite. My tiny bats. What is wrong with that? I didn't mention children or sex.
Tiny bats cannot be in your catchphrase. I'm just laying down that law
right
now.
That's my thing.
No, well, find a new thing because that is straight up stupid.
I'm going to be killing them. With tiny... so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to say, I got stuff for you to bite. My giant bats. And then the zombies are going to be like, mer. And I'm going to be like, no, well, they're tiny bats. And then I'm dead by the time I explain it.
How about you don't mention your tiny bats at all? All right. So third idea. Let's just throw that one out as well.
Right.
Third idea for a catchphrase. Three walkers spring out from behind a van. They're about to kill us.
Yep.
What do you yell? Are you on Twitter? You're the worst zombie apocalypse partner ever. Ever. I give you an F in zombie apocalypse survival skills. F.
I want to show children my tiny bats.
No, you just did the two things I told you not. You combined the two things that
doesn't
are
that,
terrible.
Doesn't that nullify?
Into one terrible thing.
I thought that nullified the negative.
This is not how nullification even works.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought I found a job for Ninja Kevin KB, our listener, who has turned into one of my best friends who I want to get to move to New York.
Kevin, Jamie's planning for you to arrive in New York has become his, like, full-time job, just so you know.
Kevin, I'm emailing him.
Is it for a camera thing?
I don't even know. I just saw the word video, and it's for one of our favorite TV shows.
All right. Sorry, guys. So anyway, back to zombie survival skills.
What the fuck would you say?
Okay, so we're in the parking garage.
Yep.
Three walkers.
Yep.
Spring out from behind a van.
Okay.
I yell, Shazam! And then I fucking hit them with tiny bats.
That's a wizard catchphrase.
Shazam? No, it's not.
It's like a magician.
Name one wizard that's yelled Shazam before killing zombies.
All right, I take that back. That's like a birthday party magician.
What? It's better than your fucking pedophile catchphrase. I love children.
Oh, yeah.
What does that even have to do with
the
situation?
It makes them feel bad for me because they're like, he's probably a great guy who can recognize
the
joyful spirit of our youth.
Zombies don't even think.
What years?
They're not.
What are you? Abracadabra! And then.
I don't say abracadabra.
Also, you're not getting
Shazam.
My tiny bats because you've shit on my tiny bats the whole time.
Fine. Then I have a machete and I go, Shazam! And I chop off their heads with my machete. Whatever. I'm going to.
And then you pull, a rabbit out of your hat? You fucking magician.
First thing I'm going to do with my magic powers is kill you during the zombie apocalypse.
Where do you get these magic powers? You're not going to be able to get them because I'm going to be beating you with my tiny bats.
Look, guys, I don't know how this is going to go. There's a good chance there are no zombies and Jamie and I are going to kill each other in Florida.
Okay. I'm gonna come back from the dead at my funeral, uh-huh. And I'm going to be like, I hate you. And then I'm going to die again.
By the way, if you could only come back.
So funny.
Hold on. Listen, that reminded me of something.
So funny.
If you could only wake up, if you were dead, right?
Okay.
But you had unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And you could only wake up and say one thing. What would you say?
I hate you. I would say, this is sad. I would say, I love you.
No, well, pretend that, like, I'm not in the room for whatever reason. And you, like, can only get one message.
Then I'm going to say, where's Alice? And I'm going to fucking die and waste my... Why wouldn't you be there?
What the fuck are you doing?
That you just... What, are you going out for a cigarette during my fucking funeral?
Listen, if it was, like, a message...
If anyone tweets me, do you guys smoke? No! Shut up!
I'm so mad at all of you. Like, a message to humanity. Like, you could only, like... Like, sort of like what you would have written on your epitome or
Got
whatever.
It. Don't let Allison fuck anybody.
All right. I'm not playing this
what
game anymore.
What would yours be?
No, I'm not playing this game
mine
because yours
be,
was retarded.
I mean, mine would be, I don't know, be nice to people.
Okay, well, that was lame.
That was real. You can't call my real one lame. That's horrible. You know who would have appreciated that? A child.
I would wake up and go, Shazam!
Everyone would be like,
Shazam?
Was that a magician? Was she a fucking magician? We didn't know. So my point being this, not only are we going to ground zero and it started on my birthday, this shit all started when Allison from the street picked up that creepy haunted soldier.
Look, I may have cursed humanity. Here's how it started. If you are regular listeners of the show, there was an episode in which we talked about the creepy fucking mask I found on the street along... I was with my friend Matt, and we found this mask. And Matt very wisely said, I cannot take that home, for it is a haunted mask. And I said, I'll do it, because why not?
But then he started like being like, but... I kind of want... It was like The Ring.
It was like
The
Ring. We were standing around. We were covering an Occupy event. And I would notice Matt like slowly look over to me and look down at the mask. And I was like, you kind of want it, don't you? And he's like, I do for some reason.
So,
and then people know that... Speaking of zombies, people were like wandering up to us and they were like, what is that? And like, I was like, I found it on the street and they were like, can I hold it? And like, people wanted a photo
and we were
of
like,
it.
No.
It was really creepy. So I bring the thing home and Jamie's totally weirded out
by
it.
So mad.
So, as
I'm like legitimately mad. We're like, haha, we're joking. But if it's real, you brought that into our home.
I've cursed us. Yeah. So, as part of our friend Matt's moving, so as a going away present.
I don't want. Our friend Matt will be back shortly. Is
yeah,
how
we're,
I'm phrasing
in
it.
Denial that he's moving. So, as a going away present, slash to rid our home of this terrible curse.
As a going away present, we wrapped it up.
I wrapped it up and I threw it at him and I was like, it wants to be with you.
And he was very happy.
And what happened when we left the restaurant after giving him the mask?
It started storming.
This huge, like, evil-looking front rolled in. So here's the theory we're working under right now.
Well, and also, a little weird thing. You know how Matt's foot was fucked up?
Mm-hmm.
Now he has it, and his foot's healed.
What?
And what's the matter with your foot?
My foot is fucked up? What? Matthew!
But then I don't understand. But that's like a good thing. But I guess that's how the evil spirits lure you in. They give you something good.
Right.
Hey, your foot feels better. Now go go murder people.
Because Matt's the new carrier. So the carrier has to be in peak physical condition.
Oh, that's true.
So
you're starting to wither away.
I'm withering. So what happened was we part from the mask. And what happens that week?
People start eating each other.
Zombie apocalypse.
So
that happened. Verify that, fuckers.
Maybe the did that just mean the mask was like just really liked us and we abandoned him?
Maybe we're being
like,
punished.
What if he wasn't gonna be evil and he was just like, finally, a nice home, some cats, time to live the good domesticated life.
What's
and we're
that
like,
wrapping paper? No. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So Matt, good luck with your new life with your beautiful wife and haunted mask. I'm sorry I have placed that burden upon you.
Yep. Jenny, watch out for him eating your face. We love you both.
Yeah. So
that was 25 solid minutes.
Right. So now actual stories that are actually real that are in the actual news.
We have none.
I have several. No. Don't worry. Everybody calm down.
Actually, that's not that interesting. Okay.
Am I going or are you going?
You go. I realize I don't like mine.
So I guess I'll just talk about what I wrote about in The Nation today. There's like crazy amounts of school closures and accusations of segregation in 2012 in Louisiana. So I'll link to the article in the episode summary, but
that's always so sad. I did the white racist thing, or not racist, but like the progressive, like, I live in New York, I'm better than all of you. When you were like 2012 and I'm like, boo. And you're like, Louisiana. I'm like, that sounds right.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, a lot of really fucked up stuff happened to the school districts in Louisiana post Katrina.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But this was really fucked up because there was like a 47-year-old segregation case that went to the courts in Louisiana. And a judge got together, with the plaintiffs and the school board and said, okay, how can we, diversify the schools? How can we desegregate them? And one of the ideas they came up with were magnet schools. And a magnet school is when it's like an art school or something, and they pour a lot of money into it, and they modernize the facilities so it'll draw a lot of students from across the state. So white students in good neighborhoods would want to go to this school in this community that's traditionally a black community.
Oh, interesting. So instead of like trying to ship the black community out,
you
you're
just
trying
make the schools really good.
Right.
A fine idea. But it turns out the wing they wanted to add to one of these schools ended up costing a lot of money.
Right.
And this was when the economy started to tank and they realized they weren't going to have enough money because of budget cuts and austerity measures. They canceled that idea. So now the plaintiffs are back and they're saying, okay, well, if this was one of the main ideas you had to desegregate the schools and you got rid of that idea, what are you doing now to desegregate the schools? Which is a good question. Meanwhile, the school board, the Jefferson Parish School Board, just announced that they're canceling the teacher's contract. They Whoa. Just threw it out. Now, I should mention that one of the judge's other ideas to desegregate the schools was to fire a lot of teachers, which is, it always seems like that's the first thing.
What does that even have to do with segregation?
Well, they sort of blame the schools for being crappy and not attracting a more diverse bunch of students because the schools suck, so therefore the teachers suck.
How sad is it, on another note, like, how sad is it that in order to make the schools better, like, the incentive of that is, like, it'll bring in white people. Like,
yeah.
That's sort of like gentrification, right? Where, like, you know, whether you see that as a lot of times it's a very bad thing, but in bad neighborhoods, it's like, oh, we hear white kids are moving in. So time to give them a Whole Foods, time to knock down those warehouses or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the same deal where it's like, so the segregation is obviously bad as it is. And I'm not shitting on this solution because you need some kind of solution. But at the same time, I still think it's so sad that like, it's like, yeah, in order for the community to get better, you can only make the community better if fucking white kids start coming.
Right.
Where it's like, how about you just fucking make it better?
Well, funny you should mention racism. The Southern Poverty Law Center has filed two civil rights complaints against the Jefferson Parish School Board, one of which some of our progressive listeners might be like, why does Jefferson Parish sound so familiar to me?
Oh, my God.
Here's why. There was a, let's see, where is the, hold on, vamp kill stain.
Okay. Funny voice stall pants. People actually really like that, but I forget what the funny voice was. Burp, burp, burp.
That's not it. So Mark Traina, a school psychologist in Louisiana, tweeted the following comment. Young black thugs need to be put down like the dogs they are.
I'm sorry, back up. Who was that?
He is a school psychologist.
So look, a teacher would have been bad. A principal would have been bad.
Yeah.
But the psychologist, like, that's something that's written into a movie.
Right.
Where it's just like, what's the most horribly ironic profession?
Deeply mentally disturbed person. Yeah. So the second reason the Southern Poverty Law Center sued the board was because, or I'm sorry, brought a complaint against them, was because they said that African-American students are being unfairly subjected to arrests and seizures. So... And they cited the fact that African-American youth comprise 46% of the student population, yet 76% of all school-based arrests. So the examples the SPLC provide are like, imagine a white student being harassed at this level for the following acts, okay? A ninth grade boy was arrested and subjected to racially charged language after violating the school's cell phone policy. So think about... When we were in high school, how many kids had cell phones and got busted for texting and stuff like that?
Well, when I was in high school, I don't know if anybody had cell phones.
Really?
Or we started to. I always got my Walkman taken away. Oh, my God. I'm so old.
Holy shit.
I would get my Walkman taken away.
That's really
I don't know if I had a... I mean, I don't know when I got a cell phone. I must have had one in high school.
Okay, so moving on.
But I only... Like, my little brother who's in high school... The best hours to communicate with him are...
When he's at school.
When he's at school.
And text him, yeah. Another ninth grader was arrested and subjected to racially offensive language because he was in the hall without a pass, even though he had permission from a teacher to leave class and call his mother.
He was arrested.
Can you imagine that happening to a white kid? Okay, can you imagine
this? I used to just, high as a kite, wander the halls during class, and they'd be like, where are you supposed to be? And I'm like, the bathroom? And they were like, carry on. And I was like,
okay. Imagine this happening to a white kid. The kid who got arrested without a pass was then restrained, placed in a patrol car, and taken to an adult jail where he was held overnight.
For wandering
the halls
with a hall pass.
Without a hall pass. But the teacher said he could go out and call his mom. And they arrested him, took him to an adult jail... Even though he's in the ninth grade and held him overnight.
What do they think? Oh, my God.
Okay, so finally, last example. Imagine this happening to a white kid. Another ninth grade girl was arrested, searched, and subjected to racially offensive language for skipping class. Like, I skip class all the time, and the worst thing that happened to us was we were taken to the counselor's office, and they were like, what's wrong? Why are you skipping class?
And then the counselor called you a bunch of thugs, and you were beaten
and then I got
with
arrested.
Clubs,
yeah.
And were arrested.
And then the very worst thing that could happen is you get...
In-school suspension.
Expelled.
Well, that wasn't even...
Well, that was the worst thing that could happen to us. We could get detention, suspended, expelled. But no one went to fucking jail. Jesus Christ.
I mean, no one got expelled in our school for fucking cutting class. You get expelled if you had like your eighth fight.
Yeah. If you chronically skip class, you could get expelled. So as I was saying, the teachers had their contract thrown out. And these teachers were really badass. They showed up to one of the board meetings. Get this. They surround the board members' cars. For the board members that, or actually I think it was, you may have to vamp again as I scroll. Nope.
Oh,
shut up, funny voice.
Burp, 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 burp.
One was a board member, and the other was the board president, and they surrounded their cars as they were leaving and they were chanting, we won't forget.
Oh my God.
And it's like, it was kind of badass, you know, like
really badass.
I think, like I said this before on the show about nurses, but nurses and teachers, in my mind anyway, are on the front lines of austerity. They're the first people who really see what budget cuts, how much destruction they can do in communities.
Right.
'Cause think about who budget cuts affect first, the most vulnerable in society, right? So the sick, the elderly, and young people, students. And who's on the front lines there? It's nurses, it's doctors, and it's teachers. And teachers understand fully the chaos this is going to entail or create in these communities. Because get this, not only are they closing schools, they're sending thousands of other students in overcrowded classrooms. They're just kicking them out and saying, you have to go somewhere else. And they've already admitted, officials have admitted, they're having a hard time placing older students. So, okay, they can't be in their overcrowded classrooms, but where are you going to send them? So these teachers have just been trying to, like, get the message out there where they're like, they are creating total chaos in our communities. And because it's in Louisiana, unfortunately, and like shit like this is happening in Philadelphia too. Well, what do these two places have in common? Poor black people.
Right.
So it's not a national story yet, because it hasn't hit the suburbs yet. But it's coming. You know, look at what happened with the subprime disaster, right?
Right, right.
Where did it start? It started in poor black communities.
Which is why we didn't hear about it.
For years and years and years, this was happening to poor black people.
Which, that means by the time it hits, much like the zombie apocalypse, by the time it hits the wealthy neighborhoods and the news starts paying attention, it's fucking too late because we've been being infested in all of our lower class neighborhoods.
Right. And I think middle class Americans, and I mean, I use that term pretty loosely because a lot of people think they're in the middle class when they're in the lower classes. But the people who are truly in the middle class think that they're untouchable, that if it happens to the poor people, it's not going to affect them. When you see things happening to the poor communities first, it will reach you.
Yeah.
And that's ditto for the schools as well. So this chaos that we're seeing in Philadelphia with the crazy amount of school closures that are happening there and in Louisiana, you know, that's a litmus. It will spread. It's not isolated. It will become a trend. And that's not a conspiracy theory. It's like we saw that with the subprime crisis, you know. We live in a society. If it affects one group, it's going to affect the rest.
Right.
Just a fact. So, Jamie.
Can I give a couple shout outs real quick?
Yeah.
So I just got a couple emails. And this is cool. This is from the end. Funny. This is from Lynn. Went on a Palestinian solidarity diet after hearing Israelis allowed supplies into Gaza based on an 800 calorie diet. Lost 30 pounds. Now I would like to point out that's not healthy. I'm not in favor health wise of calorie counting or
nope.
But it was like a protest hunger strike, which I am in favor of protest. Then went mostly vegetarian to full-on vegan mid-December. Cholesterol dropped from 240 to 175, proving my family's genetic predisposition is really for laziness and excuse-making. Started exercising regularly, and I like it. Feel good. Find myself researching loco dojos and planning to take a free jiu-jitsu class. Real quick, Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Brazilian.
Make sure it's that.
Yeah.
When will this self-improvement shit end? Signed, Lynn. Just blocked from Jonah Goldberg's Twitter after one innocuous at Jonah NRO. Beating anything out of anybody, you are one big fat cliche of tyranny. Hashtag Jonah fights for charity. So that's awesome, man. I'm like, a lot of people, I sent out an email this week to some of the people that canceled because some of the people who cancel actually don't mean to. It's like, just so you guys know, if you ever get like an email that says like from Jamie Kielstein has suspended your Citizen Radio account, that's not me being like, you were bad. We don't need your money. It's usually cause you switch credit cards or you switch banks,
right?
Or lots of people always, there are a lot of people who like, they would like go MIA and they were like, oh, I switched to a community bank. And I'm like, God damn me. And telling people to switch to community banks. But a lot of you who had to cancel wrote these really sweet emails, and I read all of them, even though it looks like the email is like an automated thing. It's not. I read all of them, and so many of you are like, they always start with like, I know it's cliche, but I've gotten vegan because of you, or I'm doing jiu-jitsu, or like I'm healthier than I ever have been, or like I started an Occupy chapter or whatever. And it's like, that's not cliche. Like, that's amazing.
Totally.
And every single one I see, I read, and I wish I had time to write all of you back, but like, I'm so proud of you guys when you write me that. So like, I could get emails like that all fucking day. And that's great. So,
but then when would you check out Little Kids? If you were reading the emails all day? I'm just wondering how you would fit that into your busy schedule. You pretty mad? You look pretty mad.
I don't even know what to say.
You look pretty mad right now.
The love.
For the children?
No. I'm going to read the next email. on positive member news front, we got a bunch of new hoodlums and pirates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We haven't gone through all the brand new ones, but huge shout out. Nurse Boy's back.
Yeah.
Nurse Boy's back.
Nurse Boy, I think Chris Priest was the first maniac I saw at Occupy. Nurse Boy, a close second. Remember that? He came to Zuccotti and he was acting as a medic.
Yeah, I really only talked to him for 5 seconds. I don't know how that happened.
He was really
because he was actually doing his job of being a medic.
Yeah, he was working. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, is it me?
It was awesome, though, because I'm like, oh, you're not just here as a tourist. You're working.
Yeah, it was really badass. And then DiGiovante Albert is also back, which I'm very excited about. And he wrote, this shit blows my mind. He goes, I'd like you to know that I have a full-time job until December after graduating from college, and today is my first payday. And with some of that money, I'm back to being a hoodlum. And then he says, I still owe you $100 for my time away. No, you don't. But that's what the next paycheck's for. Oh, yes, you do. I hope this helps you to continue to kick ass. Also, I'm not reading the end of this.
What is it?
Allison's going to kill you.
What is it?
Wanted to mention something that hasn't been talked about in a while. What? Scrubs rules. Hoodlum DiGiovante out.
Boo. Boo.
But I love that it's like, this dude he hasn't been a member for a couple months, right? He's still getting the exact same shit. He's getting the show every day.
Right.
And suddenly he gets a bigger paycheck and is like, I am going to go back and see nothing in return.
Right.
Maybe I'll get a shout out. But I mean, I get to know that I'm supporting the show. That shit just makes me so fucking happy.
That's really awesome.
It's really cool. So thank you so much. And then this one I actually haven't read through yet. But this is from a new hoodlum, so I want to obviously give a shout out to a new hoodlum. If anyone doesn't know, so we have these level tier memberships on Citizen Radio. If you go to wearecitizenradio.com, and to support the show, to help us grow, to help us pay young journalists, you can go to wearecitizenradio.com, and for $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month, or to be an official sponsor of the show, our hoodlum or pirate status. So that's what we mean when we're talking about this. So Sarah, our new hoodlum, Sarah. We should give her a nickname. I just feel good about this one. So think about it. Tiny Bats.
Shazam.
Sarah Tiny Bat Shazam. Jamie doesn't want to fuck children. Hoodlum.
Or does he?
That's not in the nickname.
It is.
That's not.
It is. I got it in before you closed the nickname submission.
That's not how it works.
That is how it works.
So wait. I'm sorry. What's her nickname?
Sarah Tiny Bats Shazam. Shazam. Jamie doesn't want to fuck children, or does he?
No, I don't. Is it closed yet?
Or does he? Now it's closed.
No.
Yeah. Just shy of getting it in there. Speaking of getting it in there.
Stop it.
Come on.
not Kim. All right. Hey, Jamie Allison. So about a year ago, I started dating. Well, I guess that's the same thing. Started doing a longtime friend of mine named Ashley. And congratulations. While on a very long road trip, early into our relationship, she turned to me and said, you have to listen to this podcast. It's these two atheist, vegan, progressive badasses. Thank you. Thanks. Talking about really important stuff. So, yep, I'm another product of being trapped in the car and being forced to listen.
Yeah, that's the only way you can convert people.
By submission.
Right. Hostage shaking.
Right.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I love the show. I was instantly hooked and I've been listening almost every day since. Not only are you guys hilarious, I love that you guys give me insight to many of today's important issues that the mainstream media willingly avoids. Willingly is a big, big part of that. And you discuss gay rights at length. After getting lucky enough to find a decent paying job in the terrible job market that exists, I decided it was time to become a member. Yay! While listening to today's show, I got super excited when you mentioned you're doing a show in Buffalo this month. It's not too far from us, and I would love to surprise my girlfriend with tickets and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
That'd be awesome.
Wonder if I should have read that online. Well, surprise. When and where is the show? Okay, so here's the deal with my Buffalo show. As of now, so it's June 23rd. I'm going to send an email to the promoter. It's essentially part of this Center for Inquiry. They're one of the more progressive atheist groups out there, and they're great. And I've done a bunch of shows with them, and they're awesome. And they're having this like this sort of like leadership council or whatever. So I'm doing it for like
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, kind of. So I'm doing it for like no money because they're spending the money to like bus in like CFI, youth leaders from, you know, all over the country and stuff like that.
The Shire.
Right.
Yeah.
And am I Gandalf?
You would be Gandalf. If you could be anybody in Lord of the Rings, you'd be Gandalf.
No. I'd be, who would I be? I'd be like the one who rides on the horse.
But they all ride horses. Who are you thinking? Do you not know the characters from Lord of the Rings?
No. I would be Frank.
Frank! Where does he hail from?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Do you think Cleveland is in Middle Earth?
I just want to stone a bow and arrow. Legolas!
There you go. You'd be Legolas. Okay.
He wasn't a wiener.
No, Legolas is a badass.
His bow and arrow.
He's a badass. Yeah. Okay. Except if you were Legolas in the books, you would sing a weird amount.
That's right.
A weird amount. Like, is Legolas singing again? We're going to battle. Yeah.
So,
still singing.
So anyway, the person who's organizing this event kind of floated the idea. So I was just supposed to perform for the kids. Oh God. But she brought up maybe moving it to a bigger venue so I could open up to some of our fans. So I'm going to email about her. I'm going to email that to her and then I'll find out, this week or, or next week. I'm sorry. Which we will definitely actually not have a show on Monday. I just realized because we will still be in Florida with my grandma.
Ah.
So we will be back on Tuesday next week.
All right. Okay.
We'll just have everybody should reach out, to an elderly loved one and then hashtag it Majority FM.
Right. There you go. So Jamie, was that the end of your announcements?
All done.
So Glenn Greenwald posted a very encouraging article from the New York Times by Charlie Savage.
Oh, yeah.
So it's called Detention Provision is Blocked. So the government may not rely on a disputed law enacted last year to hold people in indefinite military detention on suspicion that they substantially supported Al-Qaeda or its allies, at least if they had no connection to the September 11th terrorist attacks, a federal judge said on Wednesday. So previously the government was saying that basically anybody who could be accused of supporting Al-Qaeda, so that could mean anything, like right. if you opened the gate for Al-Qaeda to drive through to the compound, you were technically supporting them and you could be held indefinitely without trial. So you can probably easily imagine how that was abused, where it's like, what does actually supporting Al-Qaeda mean? Well, it doesn't even matter because they could just pluck anybody they want off the quote unquote battlefield and hold them for however long they want. So in an 8-page memorandum opinion and order, Judge Catherine B. Forrest of the Southern District of New York clarified a preliminary injunction she issued on May 16th in a lawsuit brought by journalists and activists who challenged the statute, that including Chris Hedges. I think we talked about that on the show. Yeah. He was one of the journalists in the statute. A provision of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2011 and expressed fear that they could be detained. The Obama administration had asked Judge Forrest to reconsider her ruling, saying that the plaintiffs lacked legal standing to challenge the law and that it was, quote, extraordinary for her to have restrained future military operations that might be ordered by the commander-in-chief during wartime. So this very reasonable decision that Judge Forrest handed down was opposed by the Obama administration, who said, we want to have the right to indefinitely detain anyone we accuse of supporting Al-Qaeda.
Constitutional lawyer Barack Obama, back in effect.
Exactly. So, you know, Greenwald posted this article, and he said, we need more judges like Judge Forrest, and I fully agree.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, I mean, here's the problem at this point with Barack Obama defenders, at least in the civil liberties department, is the excuses we heard early on for Barack Obama's right-wing sellout decisions was always blaming the Senate, blaming Congress, or talking about how we had to negotiate, right? We can't just go and swing in. We can't prosecute George Bush and Dick Cheney because then everyone's going to think we're crazy and we'll never get to close Guantanamo. We'll never get single payer healthcare, blah, blah. We have none of that, right? But it always seemed like, oh, he's such a good guy and he knows inside the right thing, but right, he's just playing the game, right? Or wait until the second term or whatever. If he really wanted to do it in cases like this, when a court rules that something is unconstitutional, then Barack Obama could do what you think he's doing. And he
really wants to do.
And he could be like, oh, my hands are tied.
The court says, yeah,
I'm a man of law. But instead, he is actively going to overturn this ruling that says it's unconstitutional. That is, like, that's just not, that's not like you want to have it happen. That's like you are willing to override legal decision. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's like another level of scary.
Right, right, right. Which is what Greenwald's always writing about in his sort of devastatingly plain spoken legal way, you know, like no embellishments, just devastating logical arguments.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really infuriates Obama's, some of the worst blind supporters of Obama who just worship the man because they're like, he's cool and plays basketball. And like, there's no more deeper thought than that.
He knows Will I Am.
Because, I mean, it must be horrifying, like, if you worship someone unquestioningly, you know?
I know.
And then you have stark facts presented to you where it's like, drone strikes have gone up under, you know, his presidency. When you're confronted with that reality, I understand, but it doesn't excuse why they lash out and call, like, Scahill and Greenwald terrorists.
Well, I wanted to bring something up. And it's going to be another example of white Jamie stutters about talking about black people, because I don't want to obviously put anyone in a group. But I do notice a lot of the sort of more emphatic tweets that people have reposted that are like, don't say that about our president. You know, I only listen to him, blah, 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 blah. And that me and you were like, what? What idiots? A lot of them have come from the African-American community. And I do wonder if, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, we have a president. And take in mind, I'm not defending Barack Obama. We're not talking about him anymore. Nor are we talking about how ridiculous it is to stick up for a man who is clearly fucking horrible when it comes to civil rights and wars and bombing innocent people. But I do wonder if the black community starts to freak out on Twitter and turn on people like Scahill and stuff. Because imagine growing up black and having to deal with what you have to deal with. A lot of times being treated like a second class citizen. And finally, a black man is elected president.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the first thing that happens?
Crazy fucking birthers.
Crazy birthers, right?
Yeah.
Is he a citizen? Is he, you know, all this racism and stuff like that. That suddenly, when it seems like liberals are turning against him,
you freak out.
You freak the fuck out.
Yeah,
because
well,
if you don't do research, it's like, what's the difference between a birther and calling him a war criminal, right?
Totally. And I think they do understand the distinction, but they also just see it as a general front of attack against the president. So they've conflated the two things, where it's like the birther movement is ridiculous and untrue and totally racist. But completely separate from, like, criticizing his civil rights record.
Yeah, and it's so hard because, I mean, there are just times where you get on the defense, you know what I mean? And you just don't want to listen. Because you're just like, you're in fucking fight mode where you're just like, I've been defending the fact that the first fucking black president, the first president that looks like he could be in my fucking family, was born in fucking America. That now, anytime something logical comes out about Obama, it's just like, fuck you. I don't even want to read that criticism.
Yeah.
Right. And now with that said, you know, as I look at my Twitter right now, you know, Dan Savage, who we're friends with and agree with on a lot of issues, just posted how we have to give money to Obama.
Well,
Stephen Weber was the one who like was tweeting Greenwald and was just like, we can't worry about drones.
This
and
is
shit
why
like
I
that.
Think there's a third group of people, not the people who are just reacting flippantly because of the birther thing, not the people who are just thinking very shallowly about the issue. There's a third type of person,
yeah.
And that's the issues person, where it's like they have their one issue where they're like, I am the gay rights person, Dan Savage. I am the women's rights issue person, and they are very myopic with their opinions of Obama, where they're like, what are his records with gay rights?
Yeah, you just have the first president that came out to support gay marriage, and then you have fucking Mitt Romney.
Right. So an LGBT supporter is like, well, I'm going to go with the president who is upholding gay rights. A women's reproductive activist, you know, would say, well, who has the better record preserving women's rights?
Right.
And they look at it very like with tunnel vision.
That's such a good point.
But it's really understandable where it's like, if that is your jam, if that's your thing, if that's what means the whole world to you, then it's like, yeah, I can see why you go with Obama over Romney. But for those of us who don't have that myopic sort of view of the world, and we see other stuff like, oh, I don't know, Afghanistan, you know, Yemen.
You should write about this. It's such a good point, because I'm thinking about it where it's like, you know, much like the, you know, when it comes to like Wall Street, and when it comes to the war and shit like that, Romney and Obama are like pretty much on the same level of evil, right? Obama's rhetoric may be better. But if, again, you are a gay person, you're a lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and that is the fight you, not only is that the fight you've been fighting, but like your life depends on these decisions, right? And maybe like, maybe you don't know that much about foreign policy. So maybe you've been, even if you're a hardcore activist on LGBT rights, maybe you just don't know that much about foreign policy. Maybe you haven't had time, whatever. And then suddenly, you know, Greenwald and all these huge progressive voices are like, Barack Obama's a war criminal. I can totally see now where those tweets come from, where it's like, hey, do you want a President Romney? Because I'd like to fucking see my husband on his deathbed. And Romney's going to make a constitutional amendment that I'll never be able to fucking marry him.
Yeah, and in a way, and this is the really cynical part of my brain, in a way, that argument is actually more pragmatic, where it's like, you know, to someone who is an LGBT person, getting the right to be with their partner on their deathbed is considerably more tangible than declaring peace on Earth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like, that just seems like a closer, more easy to obtain goal than electing a president who's going to be anti-war and never use drone strikes.
Right.
Now, I happen to believe that I could never vote for somebody who, you know, is continuing these wars and implementing drone strikes where innocent people are being killed. I just can't do it. But I do understand that compromise some people make in their heads, you know, where they're kind of like, right, but my very civil liberties are at risk here. And if I vote, if I throw, quote unquote, throw away my vote for somebody else, then
right.
I am putting my life in jeopardy. So it's really complicated. And it's really an important conversation to have. But here's my worry. So like, we're trying to be very nuanced in this conversation and not like use words like, oh, those people are crazy or stupid. I really don't believe that for the most part.
Yeah.
But the closer we get to November, the less likely it's going to be that we can have this nuanced conversation where it's like, I totally see where you're coming from. Maybe you can see where I'm coming from. Because right now I'm seeing on Twitter and on like blog posts and stuff, people are trying to have that conversation right now. But the closer we get to November, we're going to stop having that conversation.
But people are also, I mean, there was that controversy with the angry black ladies.
No, but like, look what happened with that at the end of it. So, you know, Ross story, this is like kind of an insider story.
But Right.
But everybody had to, there was some controversy where Greenwald and Scahill were called some very nasty things by people. And
like
all
things
part,
he would have called George Bush. Or,
yeah. And all parties involved, I mean, that were sort of responsible for those nasty things being said, apologized to Greenwald and Scahill. But the closer we get to November, I think that rational, civil conversation is totally going to fly out the window.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think, though, that our solution is kind of the right one, where it's like, if you're really scared of Mitt Romney, vote for Barack Obama, but then make it your fucking job to get in the streets, to think about someone other than yourself, and to protest.
Yeah, I truly believe direct action is what's important. Like, voting, okay, yeah, sure. Like, if that's your jam and, like, you can, with a clean conscience, vote for Obama, do it. But then, yeah, direct action's where it's at. You gotta get off the couch. You gotta go protest.
Yeah, because I'm torn right now. And then luckily I live in New York, which goes Democrat. But, like, I can't vote for Barack Obama because he is responsible for the murder and detention of children, right?
Who you love.
Who I love, but not
sexually.
Mm-mm.
Little bit.
But I do believe that protest would be more effective on an Obama administration than it would be on a Romney administration, at least from the left. It would have less hurdles, you know?
So on that note, Jamie, we are out of time.
Okay. Awesome. 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 So thank you guys again. Thank you to all of our new members. You will be getting an email from us sometime next week, and we're super excited to have you guys on board on the team. And today's episode brought to you by the returning Hoodlum DiGiovanni Scrubs and Nurse Boy and Sarah Shazam, Hoodlum Sarah Shazam, Tiny Bats.
Desi's being cute.
He's sleeping with his face down in my shirt. Tiny Bats. Jamie doesn't love children. Hoodlum. My name is Jamie Kilstein.
Or does he? I'm Allison Kilkenny. Say it.
I don't want to.
Say it.
I'm gonna turn off your radio and fuck shit up. I don't have sex with children.
He does!
Sir, we know everybody is. We've built too many walls. Yeah, we've built too many walls. And now we gotta run. A giant fist is out to crush us. We run in the dark.